Hi everyone, welcome to Final Score with the Score. We are here to talk about the 4-1 defeat of Chelsea at Anfield by Liverpool. Absolute shambles from start to finish. Poor performance, and I'm not just talking about the players. The referees and the VAR were abysmal as well. It was just generally a really bad day. Not much good to take out of that, apart from Nkunku getting another goal. But that's about it. So we're going to talk about this today. We're going to try and be civil and respectful. And, you know, let's not get into fights with each other. Let's not get angry at each other. I know everyone is upset. Everyone is angry. Everyone has things to say. I understand that. It's okay to be angry and upset. We all are. I am. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough today from Chelsea. Absolutely not good enough at all. And yeah, but please, let's just discuss it like grown-ups. Let's be civil to each other and just talk about it, you know, in a respectful way. Yeah, we're going to have a talk about it for an hour or so. And Rambles is with me. Not a very good day, Rambles.
Nah, very, very poor. I think you have to give Liverpool credit. They were exceptional tonight, and you can see why they're possibly favourites for the title. I'd say the only positive from our perspective, we looked better when Carney and Nkunku came on. They added a bit of spark to the attack. But yeah,
I did.
But I felt in the first half we lost our head. You know, we were getting needless yellow cards. You know, we didn't have any composure. We were giving the ball away, making mistakes.
Yeah, it was just poor. You could see the inexperience in the team, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of talent out there, but there's no, I mean, I just didn't see any captains, any leaders. You wouldn't have known there were experienced players playing, to be honest, because no one was doing anything.
I was disappointed in some of the experienced players, and I thought it was poor diet from Chilwell, totally unnecessary. Raheem Sterling had a very bad night. There were several occasions where I felt he should have done better.
Yeah, I mean, even Thiago Silva wasn't great tonight, honestly. I didn't really, you know, he wasn't, yeah. It was just bad all round, really. Petrovic, I actually thought Petrovic had a decent game.
He did.
Even though we conceded 4 goals. I don't think any of them really were his fault. He made some good saves tonight, honestly. So, yeah, not a great night. I mean, the story of the game, you know, kind of Liverpool started off well. We had a clear penalty. It was a clear penalty, not given, at 0-0. it's one of the most clear penalties you could ever see, honestly. But what do you expect when you're at Anfield and you've got and it's Jurgen Klopp's party? You know, we were never getting any decision tonight. There was no chance we were going to get a decision tonight, and we didn't get that one. Then, you know, we conceded a goal, a really poor goal to concede, ran straight through our midfield, not good enough, really. And then it was kind of calm. Liverpool had most of the ball, but didn't really create any big chances. And then near the end of the first half, Chilwell gets fouled in the build-up, which should have been given as a foul. He was pushed over, but they didn't give it, and then they let them go on and get their second goal. And to be fair to Pochettino, he made 3 changes at half-time. He brought Nkunku on, he brought Mudryk on, he brought Gusto on. He took Chilwell off, which takes a lot of guts considering he was the captain. You know, so fair play to Poch for doing that. And Nkunku, I mean, it was good to see him back. But Liverpool got a third, giving him too much space around the back. Shouldn't have let him get in there at all. It was poor. Poor defending. And then Carney comes on and makes a really good run. Played like he looked really, really good. Linked up well with Nkunku, and Nkunku got a goal back, so it's 3-1. And then after that, Nkunku is fouled in the penalty in the box, and it's a clear penalty, and it's not given. So at that point, it should be 3-3, actually. Even though we've not played well, we should still have been 3-3. But because we weren't getting any decisions tonight, it was 3-1. And then Liverpool hit us on the break again, and Szoboszlai gets a free header. Really bad defending again. Should never be winning that header. And yeah, it's 4-1. So that's that was the game. It was very disappointing. There are a few bright moments in there, but generally, you know, like the goal and Carney, and you know, but not much to write home about. A lot of players were poor tonight. Potts probably got it wrong as well tactically. There's a lot of, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of people who, you know, like, you know, shouting for his head again tonight. I'm still not doing that. Not after, you know, I mean, it's not when you lose at home, or lose away to the team that are top of the league and a much better team than you. And when the referee's on their side as well, it's, you know, I mean, if the referee had done his job properly, it would have been 4-3. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, which is a whole different kind of scoreline. And, you know, of course, if we get the early penalty, it may be a different game completely.
Yeah, it could change the whole kind
of game. If we score first, then our team gets a lift, we get confident, we might start playing well. You know, this is the thing with us. We're a young team, so very much a confidence team. Like, we get that early goal, we get loads of confidence, we start playing well. But we don't get it. Heads go down a bit. Liverpool turn the screw. They get the first goal. And after that, you know, and especially after the second goal, our heads just went a bit. And we kind of just were going through the motions. But there it is. We lost. I'm expecting any moment now to get an announcement of Anthony Taylor refereeing the League Cup final. Although I don't know why we should even bother turning up, because they've clearly already decided that Liverpool are going to win that. They've decided they're going to win everything. So anyway, sorry, I'm feeling a bit negative tonight. But yeah, we're going to talk about the game. We've got a little comment here from Louis. Based on the logic in this game and the two penalties Liverpool not given, we should have had two as well. This isn't being ignored as a Chelsea fan, it's being ignored as a football fan. The ineptitude and lack of consistency is shocking. That's absolutely right there from our man Louis. So let's get people up. Okay, remember to be civil and respectful. We really want to hear everyone's views. We want to hear different people's perspectives, different people's views. If you've got a different view of someone else, that's fine. Like, you know, what do you think of the game? What was the biggest issue with the game? What do you think of the referee's performance and anything else? So please do request and we'll get you up. So, okay, we're going to get our first guy up. Marais, we'd love to hear from you and your views on the game. Please do feel free to come up. We want to hear from as many of you as possible. We value everyone's views, even if we don't agree. That's what this place is about. We're all different people. We all have different views. So we might disagree, but we can be respectful. So, okay, Marais, let's hear your views. I'll just unmute yourself and, yeah, here you go.
So, I think it was a fair result. We played terribly and we deserve to lose. But what I would like to bring up is, did you guys see the soft nudge in the direction of Liverpool that the commentators had? Like, it was horrendous commentating as well.
I muted the commentating today, actually. I muted it today because I knew it would be biased. I've had the TV on mute all night. what was the commentary like? What were they saying? So
there was a point in the game where Joe Cole came on. He was talking about the first penalty that wasn't given. The commentators did not even acknowledge that. And then I saw a Liverpool player pass a ball to a player that was offside, that was called offside, and they were like, wonderful pass. You're passing the ball to a player that is offside and it's still a wonderful pass. It's crazy.
Sadly, it's going to be the same between now and the end of the season. With Jurgen Klopp going, every Liverpool game televised, you're going to see pretty much the same reaction from the pundits, the commentators and so on.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that's going to happen at the end of the season now. They knew what they were doing. Unfortunately, when they announced that decision, because they know they're going to get everybody on their side for the rest of the season. So,
I mean, it does pain me to say this, but I think you do have to give credit where it's due. They are a very good side, and
they are
as bad as we were tonight. They were equally as good. They were very, very good tonight, and I don't think many teams would have got anything tonight.
I agree. I mean, they are. I think people need to realise that Liverpool are a few years ahead of us. You know, they've been building their team and their philosophy and their culture of that club for, you know, 8 years, 9 years, and they're well down the road with that, you know, and they've got everything in place there already. We're right at the beginning of that journey. They're at the end of that journey, you know. I mean, so, you know, we're at two clubs at two very different places. So it was always going to be difficult tonight. Even if we played well tonight, there was no guarantee we would win. You know, we would get a draw. We could have played well tonight and lost. Because Liverpool are a good side. They've got top players and a top manager. You know, I mean, you know, there's a reason. Like, you know, Jurgen Klopp. I don't like all this kind of stuff that's happened with the media with his announcement. But he's top manager. So thanks, Mirage. Thanks for your. We'll keep you up here for a minute. We've got a lot of people coming up. No, actually, so we'll just remove you. But thanks, Mirage, for your comments. Some good comments tonight. Thank you. We're going to get the next one up. We're going to try and do them in order. So, Raz. Not Raz. Sorry. Raz, you're next. But we'll get up Oten Edgar. So, I'm going to add you. And then. Oh, no, he's gone. So, I'm going to add Raz. Okay. Raz, we'd love to hear from you. We had you on last week, so I'd love to get your views again. I don't know if anyone was at the game. Oh, God, we've got a Liverpool fan here. I don't think we're going to bring up a Liverpool fan. Well, we might bring up a Liverpool fan if you're polite and respectful. We'll see. I'll think about it. Raz, I'm still connecting. Crikey. Rambles, what was your thought on the referee tonight?
Yeah, I thought the referee had a very poor game. I mean, I can understand the first penalty slightly more because you could argue that was soft, but the second one was a stonewall penalty. I do think the first one was as well, but I think you can make slightly more of an argument for the first one not being given, but the second one was a stonewall penalty.
Absolutely agree. I mean, I didn't realise how much of a penalty that was until afterwards, actually. I've got to admit, like, I was more worried about Nkunku being injured to start with.
But the thing that frustrates me is this is happening every single game. You know, VAR was brought in to kind of get rid of these issues. I think most fans prefer it how it was before. At least you can say, you know, the referee missed it. Now, you know, even with the help of VAR, we're still getting decision after decision after decision wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's like I actually have enjoyed the FA Cup games and the League Cup games with me because there's been no VAR. You sometimes get bad decisions, but at least there's consistency, you know, like, yeah. You know, every team gets bad decisions against them, good points. Enter, you're here, great to see you again. What are your thoughts on the game? Just unmute yourself and we'd love to hear your views.
Good evening. Bit of a hot head after that. I mean, oof. It was coming. I think it should have been clear to see especially the moment Klopp announced, his tenure's coming to an end. Liverpool were already the darlings, and now that has just been kind of thrust into a new dimension. I think someone mentioned it prior that. From the commentating to the general kind of talk around the game, it was very much one-sided. And I don't know whether psychology played a part. I think we all hope it wouldn't in terms of the officiating, but sometimes you got the eerie feeling as if it did, because I agree. Not just the penalty decisions. That was contentious as it is, but just the whole feel of the game. We picked up yellow cards for little silly fouls. I grant that they were silly, but there were silly fouls all over the place. But we seem to be the ones being penalized for it. And it was just this kind of undertone of bias, which created an unsavory spectacle. In terms of our performance, I have to say the better team won. You noted that, you know, they're far ahead in their development. They're the complete side. And a young boy, Bradley, I think, the one who scored, he comes into the team and looks right at home. And that's just signifies where they're at. If we had got the penalty at 0-0, could have been a different game. If we had at 3-1, could have been a different game. But there you go. I mean, it's very frustrating, but I think it's a realization that it was slightly, how would you say it? Wishful thinking to have expected to run rampant at Anfield.
Absolutely, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I didn't expect us to win today. I did expect us to play better than we did. I knew Liverpool would play well. I knew that, you know, I knew that they would. I knew that they would. You know, I knew they would show up and perform, and you know, the cop would be behind them, and all of that. I knew that would happen, but I thought we would play better. I thought we would put in a performance like we'd have against other big teams this season. We played well against Arsenal, played well against Man City, played well against Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. You know, I thought we might put in a performance today, but we didn't. And you know, I think maybe the atmosphere got to some of the players as well. You know, it's an intimidating atmosphere, Anfield. And when you've got a lot of young players, you know, players who've never played there before, you know, this is not an excuse, by the way, but it doesn't help, you know. Especially when it's an evening game, because Anfield gets really, really loud with the evening games. We all know about Anfield.
Yeah, the Anfield atmosphere on a midweek game is always fantastic.
And I was going to say that is a very good point, because it is the first for many of our boys' first trip to Anfield. So,
yeah. Yeah, and you can see Pochettino being frustrated as well. He was not happy with the performance, and he was not happy with some of the decisions. Either. He definitely went to the ref a couple of times, because you could see that we weren't getting the decisions. But yeah, you're right. You know, I think it'll be a lesson for these guys. They'll learn. But again, I keep saying it, and I've said it all season. We need to sign leaders. We need to sign captains. We need to sign some experience, good experience. You can't build a successful team without that. And I don't know why our sporting directors keep thinking that you can buy a bunch of kids and suddenly they'll just turn into a great team. And you know, you can't build a team without some leaders and without some captains and without some experience. You've got to have it. You know, we keep getting shown that in these kind of games, because you have more. Like if you have, if you have like a Gary Cahill type in the team today, if you have. You know, like a Matic in the field of experience, like then maybe, you know, they can keep everyone's heads up and we don't capitulate, you know, and we don't concede stupid goals and we don't lose concentration.
But one last thing I just quickly want to mention is, because I wonder what the game plan coming in to this game for us, and if it was, for instance, to unsettle Liverpool, not necessarily try to dominate the game, but just, you know, get a foot in the tackle, bully them for half an hour. It seemed that we were penalised very much for doing so. And that could have prevented us from, you know, basically sticking to the plan. And we had to adapt on our feet. And unfortunately, we lacked the backup plan.
Yeah, and I think as well, I mean, Liverpool are 14 unbeaten in the Premier League. You know, they've lost one game all season, I think, in the league. You know, it's not, it's going to be very, very, even if we played, like I said, even if we played well, there was no guarantee we'd even get a draw today. But, so, yeah, but that's not an excuse for the performance. The performance wasn't good enough, and we've got to do better. I know these players are capable of a lot better. That's what's frustrating for me, because I know we've got a lot of talent on that pitch. I had a lot of talent on that pitch tonight, and some of them didn't perform. You know, they just didn't perform. Gusto looked decent when he came on. I thought Carney looked good when he came on. And Kunku, you know, basically won a penalty and scored a goal. So the subs made a difference, which, you know, and also, again, like I said, Pochettino taking Chilwell off was a big call, and he made it. It was the right call too, because Chilwell had a nightmare in the first half. So fair play, but, you know, we've got to do a lot better. I'm not really concerned, because we've been getting good results recently. You know, we haven't been getting beaten like that very often. We haven't had a series of defeats for quite a while. So I'm sure we'll come back. And we've got a good home record recently as well. So I'm sure we'll come back better on Saturday or the weekend, whenever we're playing. Sunday, I think it is, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, Sunday against Wolves.
Sunday against Wolves, which won't be an easy game either. But, you know, it's disappointing tonight. So, okay, let's bring Louis up. Love to get your views, as always, Louis. And I'm sure you've got some good opinions on this. So, what are your thoughts, Louis?
Hello, gents. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Fantastic. That was fun. I actually turned around for the last 10 minutes, because I was at a bar with my dad watching it, and our food arrived, and I was like, do you know what? I know what's going to happen for the next 10 minutes. I'm just going to focus on trying to tackle this plate of chicken wings. And to be honest, I'm glad I did, because they were absolutely delightful. But aside from that, it was just... I mean, I don't know what you guys have already said. I mean, there's just so many things to go through from that. I mean, there was no cohesiveness amongst the team. The decision to take off Madueke instead of Sterling astounds me. I know a lot of people are going to blame Chilwell for that second goal, which, you know, timeline will. They'll find a scapegoat. But if Ben Chilwell's getting pulled down and Raheem Sterling actually tracks the fullback, guess what? That goal doesn't happen. Third goal, pretty much at any opportunity, Badiashile was... I mean, look, there's coming back from injury and struggling and not quite making it right. And there's, quite frankly, being suspect at every opportunity that a Chelsea shirt is pulled on. And Badiashile is the latter. I don't understand the logic. I also don't understand the logic in fairness to him, right? You know, Spore, you told me a very, very interesting stat the other day about the injuries we've had since 2019, right? Tonight was just an example of that. You know, we can talk about Ben Chilwell looking out of it, which he did, right? But that's a 60% fit Ben Chilwell with no one supporting him. You're playing De Zassi at right back because our right back wasn't fit, and we pulled him on at the beginning of the second half because we had to, right? Christopher Nkunku just coming back yet again. It's you know, there's a lot of issues there, and it's just issue after issue after issue mounting up that led to that result. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to say, you know, it wasn't anyone's fault. I think, you know, like I said, right at the top, cohesiveness wasn't there. I think a lot of that had to come down to transfer strategy as well, which I will touch on in a moment. But overall, we were just simply completely out of it from the off. They wanted it more than we do. Their football was better. They passed it around us. You know, we can talk about the fact that maybe we should have had two penalty shouts, which we definitely should have done, but that game could have easily been 5-6-7-8-1 for the same token. So, you know, overall, we're in a position where there's a lot to analyse and a lot to look at, but it also comes down to a complete lack of cohesiveness across everything, and that will bring them to the transfer strategy, right? Now, understandably, Poch wants more height in the team. I completely get that, right? You know, from corners, that was an issue, right? So, shifting on a left back to maybe a taller left back might have made sense, right? No. What we'll do is we won't sign anybody. We'll leave it until the last 24 hours, hoping that we might get someone. Much like that first summer window where we were panicking and tried to snap up Edson Álvarez and Sangare and whoever we bloody could from in the transfer window because we were panicking. And then now we're looking at this going, oh, maybe we do need a left back because Ben Chilwell is not 100% fit. You put Badi Chilwell there, it's an accident waiting to happen, right? Centre forward, which by the way, is an issue we know about, but wouldn't have made an issue. Honestly, it wouldn't have mattered tonight. Generally wouldn't have mattered, is another problem area. And centre back is another problem area. But we look at this and they've gone, do you know what? We're going to shift on players, but we aren't going to bring anything in. But then they're going to turn around and say, they've got two trains of thought which don't match up, right? This is a project and the original target of top four this season, as Simon was talking about in the transfer show a few weeks ago, right? Make it make sense. Because they don't want to sign experience. They want to have set as a project, but then they want instant results with top four, which wasn't going to happen anywhere this season. Across the board, yep, there's multiple issues that need to be faced. And tonight is just an example of why, while those issues are not addressed, this will continue to happen. Liverpool with a better side. Let's call a spade. But overall, you know, this is just a recipe or an it's what comes out of the oven when you cook with shit. You know, it's just one example of, you know, basically getting an oatmeal cookie. But it's not oatmeal. It's the first thing I said it was. And yeah, that's just me getting it all out and somehow maintaining composure and only swearing once. I hope you're proud of me.
It's good points, Louis. Thanks for sharing that. Very honest as always. Always appreciate it. I mean, my view, and I'm going to keep saying this. I think we've got a lot of talented players here, including some of the ones that have been criticised tonight. I don't believe that these are bad players, most of them. Some of them, maybe a couple of them are. I don't believe most of them are.
I absolutely agree with you. I agree with you, by the way, on that. But it's just...
Part of it is we don't have leaders. Part of it is, I don't know, coaching maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a get rid of the manager guy. But, you know, you can't just... I don't think it's one thing, and honestly, I said this before. We don't have leaders right at the very, very top. And I'm talking the football side of the club. You know, we don't. We just don't. They're not leaders at all. They don't have any presence. They don't have any reputation in the game. They don't have any standing in the game. They've never built a team before. They're scouts, and they're running a football club. You know, you don't have scouts running a football club. You have scouts scouting players. That's what they're good at.
Paul Winstanley has got a fantastic record at Brighton at bringing in new players.
He's brilliant at spotting talent. He's absolutely brilliant
at it. But there's a big difference between Chelsea and Brighton. We need experience. You know, Brighton, you can afford to bring in 5, 6, 7 youngsters and hope they develop. But yeah, at a big club, you need to bring in a mixture.
Brighton are happy if they get top six, yet alone... You know, they're happy if they get 10th even sometimes.
Let's remember they've won 3 and 16, by the way, as well. But they're still one of the amazing clubs. But then also, you raised a good point there, and my dad said it to me as well, right? He was talking about the old regime. I'm not sitting there saying, you know, oh, get rid of Bowley, because guess what? He's here for 10 years. So hopefully he learns his lessons and develops. And I say that, I hope, I really do, right? Because, you know, it can't get worse, or it can. But, you know, you look at the old regime, and you even look at Ken Bates before that. You know, my dad made an example, said, look, like, you had young players, but then, for example, you bring a player for 6 months, 2 years. He used George Weah as a great example. You know, obviously, we've had other players that come in. Thiago Silva is probably the latest example of a player which you bring in to help rub off on the younger players in the team. But as much as we need those older players, we also do need players that are older, but not, well, to use words maybe politely, over the hill. I'm not saying, I think Thiago Silva is still one of our best defenders, which is amazing for a man of his age. But, you know, he's 39. Like, all due respect to him, I love him to pieces. You know, he's one of my favourite players in a very long time. But, you know, we need players 26, 27, 28. Maybe not necessarily being they've done it, but Premier League experience. Lo and behold, guess who scored tonight? Ivan Toney. It's one of the very few things which Paul Winstanley and I agree on. You know, and to be honest, as I've said to you before, score, you know, I've spoken to people at football clubs and they've gone, and they've worked with Paul Winstanley, by the way, and they've gone, how the fuck did he get that job? How the hell has he got that? But apparently we've got the best in class in every single thing. No, we don't. Behave yourselves. Like, come on.
I mean, I get hammered for criticising him if I dare mention his name sometimes, like I've got an agenda or something. You know, it's not like, I mean, he is great at spotting talent. Like, he, you know, he signed Caicedo for Brighton for peanuts, right? He got us Kendry Páez. I think he got us Andre Santos. All talented players, right? He can spot talent. But he's not the guy to lead a football club, right? He is not Luis Campos. He is not Michael Edwards. He is not Paul Mitchell, right? He's not. And the fact we've got two people doing the same job as well is just an absolute joke as well. I think it's just stupid, honestly. You know, put them in jobs that they're qualified to do, and then get a proper guy to run the football club who actually knows how to build a team and to run a football club. And isn't just going to be a yes man. He's going to tell the owners about football because they know football better than them.
There is one guy on the market who I'd look at, and that's Paolo Maldini.
Yeah,
Paolo Maldini is a great shout. But then there's a man which me and Score have spoken about multiple occasions. I think he turned down Liverpool, ironically, after just leaving them again. Michael Edwards is available, guys. Go give him a checkbook. Tell him what he wants. Go get it. End of. And I should think exactly what this is. It should be a case of turning around and going, right, Mr. Edwards, here is a blank piece of paper. Please, please fix the problem of how we spent somehow spent nearly a billion. It's not a billion because that's lazy reporting. But spent nearly a billion and we have gone backwards. Can you fix that for us, please? There's a bank checkbook. Please tell us how much you want. Come and fix it. Paul and Lawrence, thank you very much for what you've done. But one of you or both of you need to realise what your state and your position is in this club, because you are not built to be directors of football. That is a fact. That is end of discussion for me. There's a player that was in the Liverpool team, actually, because we actually had a decent director of football, someone who was capable of becoming a decent director of football, in Christopher Vavell, who obviously brought Christopher Nkunku to the club and actually wanted to sign Dominic Szoboszlai in the summer. And then Lawrence Stewart and Paul Winston are like, no, what we're going to do is we're going to overpay the players from teams which are maybe not quite ready. And he's going, well, no, this guy's ready and he can actually help these younger players. Like, no, this is what we're going to do, because this is what we've been told. You know, we can't sign a player who has pubic hair, right? That's not allowed, okay? We need to be careful here, guys, okay? It's like, it's just... I don't know. Just like you said, the greatest guy in talent, but the mentality is just not there. They seem to have made the step up, and it's all very much a case of, it's okay, guys, we'll get them next time. No. That is not the mentality that Chelsea Football Club has been built on. And I'm not just talking Ryan Abramovich here. I'm talking Ken Bates. I'm talking the 90s. I'm talking when Glenn Hoddle comes in, makes a difference. You know, that the mentality that was built around Chelsea by bringing in Gianluca Vialli, by bringing in Rudiger, by bringing in Roberto Di Matteo, by bringing in proven winners and players that wanted to make that step up and make the difference, is what this culture has been built on. We just happened to have the
this is spot on. This is all spot on. Like, this is not, yeah, I mean, this is not about one owner being better than the other. You know, Marina Bramwich made mistakes as well. He hired his mates to run the club instead of proper sporting people, honestly, once Peter Kenyon left. Every owner's made mistakes. Ken Bates probably made some mistakes as well, right? Although he'd never admit it, obviously. But, like, you know, but you're right. You know, you've got to get, like, leaders at the club, right? Yeah, you've got to have people that know how to win, that know what it's like, that understand that Chelsea is a big football club. We are a big football club, right? We've got 150 million fans worldwide, right? 150 million fans worldwide. Like, we're a massive brand. That's why they bought us in the first place, right? Because the brand of Chelsea has huge potential. I hate calling it a brand. I hate it. But that's what it is to them, right? Then they see the potential in that, right? And they know that Chelsea have to win for them to make money. So they put money into Chelsea to try and win. But the problem is, they've got the right intentions, but they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to win. They want to win, they just don't know how to win, right? You need people who are experienced at running.
Score, I can't hear you at all now.
Can you not hear me?
I can hear you, mate. I can hear you a little bit.
Oh, okay, cool. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Rambles has died.
Rambles has died. Okay.
R.I.P.
Can you hear me though?
Exactly, mate. You're all good. Don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere.
Good. All right. So yeah, I mean, you hire people that have run elite football clubs, right? I mean, Manchester United, honestly, Omar Berada was ungettable. He was not available. He was at the biggest. He was at the best club in the world at the moment. The best run club in the world at the moment. And Man United just went and got him. That's what we need to be doing. That kind of thing. Hire people that are not available.
But with that score, the big reason they did that is, you know, as much as, you know, he's a money man in other sectors, Jim Ratcliffe's a football fan. The people he's bringing in are, they might not be football people, but they're football fans. They understand the culture.
Yes, you know, the first thing
we're hearing about, which was the first red flag, I said it months ago, or like literally when they came across, it's like, well, in the MLB, they did this with LA Dodgers. Okay, I appreciate that, but, you know, baseball and football are two completely different things. Oh, they're both sports, though, the same logic. No, it doesn't. Football, as someone who studied the sport and has got a university debt studying the sport, is probably the most individual, the most basket case, and what's the word I'm looking for? Not standalone, but it's the only thing like it in the world. There's no business like it. And Ratcliffe's gone, okay, well, we don't know that. We're football fans, we're football people, but let's get someone who can do it. And as you said, he's just gone in and gone, right, you, how much? Blank check, so thank you very much, ta-da, I'll see you later. You know, that's exactly the position we should be taking. And another, I'm just saying to someone in the listeners who's, there's a similar logic to that, and he just loves Football Manager. So, you know, Ben, if he wants to come up, I'd strongly recommend getting him in. Because not only is he a good laugh, but, you know, he just loves Football Manager. He'd be a great football brain. I personally think, right, actually, score. What we should do is we should write a letter to Chelsea, outline our plans for the club, and we should put ourselves forward as a greatest of football.
We could, I mean, like, yeah, you and I have had such similar ideas on transfers this season, and we were proven right. Like, we both said James Ward-Prowse would have been a good experience, captain signing. You know, I mean, like, again, him tonight out there, you know, totally different story. He's a leader, he's experienced, right? We talked about Max Tillman, I think, as well, that we should sign. I think, we agreed on a lot of things and how to rebuild this team and this club. That wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. At least we know what Chelsea means. Good. Thanks, Louis, for your stuff. You can start if you want.
I'll stay up until I'll stay up until Rambles is alive.
I'm back now.
Right, there you go. Right, I'm going to fuck off and get the tube because I'm freezing. So I'll see you guys later. Good luck.
Yeah, take care.
See you later, Louis.
Bye bye.
I think Todd and Kai have got the right ambition but the wrong execution. I think they put their trust in the wrong people. They've given Paul and Stanley and Lawrence Stewart a lot of power, and we all know they have got areas they're very, very good at, but they shouldn't have overall control of building this football team because they don't have the experience of building a football team at a top club with huge expectations.
No.
You know, it's very, very different at Brighton. At Brighton, if it doesn't work one season, that's okay. You know, they can afford, you know, to see what happens next season. If Brighton don't get European football this season, it's not a deal breaker for them. Whereas for us, we need European football season after season. Now we need that income it brings. We need everything else that comes with it.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah.
And as you say, you talk about someone like James Ward-Prowse. You know, we could have gotten for a really good price.
Yeah, absolutely. I said this in the summer. You know, I said this in the summer. I got hammered for it, you know, but it's those kind of smart little signings that help you get over the line in these games. That, you know, they're not long-term signings. They're not even to start regularly, but they're in and around the squad. They're passing on their experience. You bring them on in the game, but either you start them in the game like this to just give their leadership and experience so the players don't get overawed and, like, drop under pressure. Like, and you can tell you can just calm things down, control things, get the players organised, you know, all that kind of thing. Those little things matter. You know, and we don't have those. We don't have someone those.
Like James Ward-Prowse is very much like an Aspilicueta kind of captain. You know, he leads by example. He's always available, always gives 110%. You always know you're going to get a solid 7 out of 10. You know, he's never going to pick up a fuss if he's not playing, if he gets subbed off.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ben, we just brought you up. So, unmute yourself
and
let us know your thoughts on the game.
I mean, we were abysmal. could have been a cricket score if Nunes could hit back in the net. All very obvious things. Won't bother talking about the ref because we were so bad. Yeah, it could have changed the game, whatever. Also, you've all spoken very correctly and at length about how the vast majority of the problem is a recruitment problem. So, you know, I won't retread old ground. One thing I would add is I think, score, you're correct that lots of these signings aren't bad players. But what I would say is a lot of them are, well, not a lot of them, but you know what I mean. Some of them are bad signings, as in the money you've paid and the profile you've signed in terms of like just building a competent football team, you know. And it's nothing against the players themselves, but it's, you know, signs of mismanagement from above. The thing I'd say based on today and based on a lot of this season is, and it's again, it's similar to last year in that the club's such a basket case and has been so for, you know, 2-3 years now.
I'd say I'll argue longer than that.
I mean, but it's like non-stop. It's been a basket case since what, February 2022, whenever Russia invaded Ukraine, it feels like forever ago now. But basically since then, the club's gone from one disaster to another in various different ways and means. And like, I'm reaching the point, and I'm not going to, you know, start screaming from the balconies, Potch out and all that, but I'm getting to a similar point I got with Potter in, probably about January as well, when he came in, where it's like, yeah, the recruitment's awful and the squad's dreadful and unbalanced and there's tons of injuries, but I just feel like someone surely can get more of a song out of what we see. I mean, it's a mid-table squad that you're hoping develops into a better one, and I can't list a ton of names. I mean, I tweeted earlier Mourinho, but that's sort of more tongue-in-cheek than anything. But like, it's just, you know, players constantly out of position, even when everyone in a position is fit, there's still someone shunted here. I love Thiago Silva to bits, but you know, if we're signing all these kids, or not kids, but if we're signing younger players and the whole thing is, but then we're so reliant on Thiago Silva even when there's multiple centre backs fit. I really don't get a lot of Poch's decisions. Sterling was dreadful tonight, particularly in the first half, and he manages to play 90 minutes. It seems to me that Sterling can do no wrong. It's always, if they're both playing, it's always Madueke that gets hauled off. And Madueke, I'm not saying Madueke was good, but I thought Sterling was worse. I thought Sterling was worse at Middlesbrough, and I was at that game, and it was Madueke that got hauled off, and it was just like, you've taken the wrong winger off. You know, it's more of a angry ramble than anything more sensible.
Yeah.
Just because basically I don't want to retread ground that you and Louis and others have spoken eloquently about on transfers, because we'd be here all night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've signed some talented players. I think, but there's a difference between signing talented players and building a balanced squad, right? And that's a different skill set. You know, building a balanced squad means isn't just about talent. It's about character. It's about leadership. It's about experience. It's about, you know, it's about pathways. It's about all of that kind of thing. An experienced director of football knows how to do that. You know, simple as that. You know, they know that you need, if you want to, you can buy mainly young, but you need a couple of experienced players. Like, I mean, even Brighton this year, they signed James Milner. Again, that, I mean, like, I would have taken him at the start of the season on a free. Honestly, he would have been a squad player, but he's a leader and he's won everything.
I mean, I go back to last January and we signed Mudryk and Madueke. Now, you didn't need to sign two young players who've never played in the Premier League. You know, they should have said, right, which one of the two do we want? The other winger we're going to sign is going to be a more experienced winger who can make more of an impact.
Trossard. If you signed Trossard and Madueke last year, that would have been a lot, probably would have been a lot better. And it would have been about £40 million cheaper. And you could have spent that £40 million on a striker. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, they have admitted, I know for a fact they admitted they made mistakes last season, and that they know that appointing Potter was a mistake, and that summer 2022 was not a good window, and that probably they did too much in January. So they've admitted they made mistakes last year, and, well, we'll get onto this tomorrow, but, you know, we haven't done much, we haven't panicked in January. I'm quite glad we haven't panicked in January, right? We haven't made any reactionary signings, any kind of panic signings that we might regret, right? We haven't rushed into anything. Maybe there's reasons for that, but I actually admire that. So, good points, Ben. Thanks for coming up.
I'd just very quickly say we need stuff in January, though. Like, letting Mattsson go without a replacement. Like, I bang the drum. I don't get why we weren't in for Barco, because it's sort of the perfect Clear Lake signing, but whatever. But we need a centre forward, particularly if Brozier goes. Like, I'm not going to say Brozier's it. He's clearly not, but having a presence up top, you know, when Jackson isn't available, clearly helps. You know, Wilson's got a woeful injury record, but he can find the back of the net. He's a bit of a presence up top. Like, whatever it is. Left back's clearly an issue. Right back's clearly an issue because, you know, De Sassi overlapping. He's been all right, but, you know, that's the difference when it's Gusto. Midfield.
Gusto's a good player.
I really like Gusto. And he's definitely one that's sort of, you know, maybe proven that, you know, the model might work in terms of he's come in, looked average when he first came in, but has definitely grown, right? But midfield, like, you know, we look both short of a destroyer, but short of creativity. Like, I don't know. And again, that's where it's how much of it is recruitment, how much of it is coaching, you know. Caicedo's a very good player. Enzo's a fantastic player. Enzo's been nowhere near the player he was in the back half of last season. And we were so poor last season, but you could see Enzo and you're like, right, well, there's a glimmer of hope. And he's just been nowhere near the player he was last season for me. And, you know, I think he's being used wrong. I think play him a bit deeper. And I guess that might be a thing because Nkunku's been out. It's just I keep starting to make a point of going, well, no, this is also a mess, and this is also a mess. It's an absolute basket case, and I mean, I can't see it changing for the rest of the season. I can't see it changing in the summer. I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, if I'm Victor Osimhen, I'm not going anywhere near Chelsea. You know, if he's got an agent that's got anything about him, he's going, don't go there, go literally anywhere else, because they're a basket case and you'll end up not in Europe, and God knows if we'll get in Europe at the end of next season. You know, if you're Enzo or Enzo's agent, if you're Reece James or Reece James's agent, you know, you're putting feelers out for moves away, because
I don't think it's this bad. I don't think it's quite as bad as you're making out.
Maybe I'm being a doom monger, and I'm, you know, I don't see them learning from their mistakes, and that's the problem, you know.
Oh well, I think they have. I mean, like I think they have in some ways, but they're still making mistakes. And I,
well, yeah, perhaps you're right.
Let me be clear about this. I think, like, if people think the sporting directors are not going to be held responsible for this season, you know, they hired the manager, they made the signings, they're going to be held responsible. So, you know, we will, there will be changes in that department if things don't work out this season. You know, I don't see any sentiment in Bede Degbali at all. He wants to win. So, but anyway, yes. Anyway, thanks, Ben. We've got Archie up. I want to hear him, hear his views. But thanks, Ben. I really appreciate you coming up. Really good views, really good comments. Really, really good stuff. Thank you, Ben.
Good stuff, Ben.
Yeah, thank you so much. We've got Archie. Archie, always like to hear your views. So,
I know you guys have been running for a while, so I don't want it to turn into an echo chamber of what everything else you've repeated.
Archie, you always speak good sense.
Tell me what you want to say. No, what have you discussed?
We talked about everything. I mean, we talked about the game, talked about experience, talked about leaders, Pochettino,
transfers, sporting directors.
Yeah.
And yeah. Hilariously, what I would say is, and I said it on another space, is in sport, you win and you lose collectively, right? I think it's very easy to come out of a game like this and point fingers at individuals or managers or sporting directors. And I think ultimately it's probably a bit of everyone, right? I think that there were, you know, fundamental flaws tonight from the manager. I think he left us incredibly exposed. I think there were individual performances that were truly horrific. And I think there was refereeing decisions that were truly horrific. And I think that, you know, this can happen. And when all those three things happen in a football game or any sport, you tend to lose, right? I do think this is a, you know, sadly what happens and what has happened this season with Pochettino is the fact that we've had a run of three or four kind of decent games where collectively we kind of think that we're getting back on track to some capacity, and then a woeful, horrific performance happens like this. Or, I mean, this is basically Old Trafford 2.0, right? You know, but the difference was is at Old Trafford they had terrible players. At least Liverpool had kind of got decent players to play their system in. But to go to these difficult away games, where I've seen Jose Mourinho teams literally having to park the bus and get two or three chances to win a game, you've got to be clever, you've got to be clinical, you've got to be concise, you've got to be shrewd, right? There's like, it's not just about putting the team out there and telling them how to play. There's a way to go about it. You've got to be compact. You've got to nullify the crowd. There are so many things that I think, you know, and I know you've spoken about experienced players know that. They know that when you go to Anfield or Old Trafford or Etihad or wherever, you're playing against 12 men, you're playing against 11 men and the crowd, or you're playing against 13 men and most often yes. The referee, right?
Yes.
And so in order to win, you've got to try and beat two of those elements already, which we didn't get tonight. And we can speak about the refereeing until you're blue in the face, but all that's going to happen is Howard Webb is going to have a kind of maniacal chat with Michael Owen on a Wednesday night and go, you know, we got it wrong, but, you know, we'll learn from this and, you know, we'll take it into the net. You don't learn from anything, Howard Webb. Like, it doesn't change the course of the game. It's absolutely atrocious. It's a complete piss take, but whatever, we move on. Like, hopefully in the final, we get a bit of luck going our way. But all I would say, it is just one game. I'm not saying that, like, it isn't an absolute disaster class, but you know, there's still a lot to play for this season. It's not over. We still got a cup final. We can seek revenge against them, and we've got to move on from this. But, you know, Pochettino has got to learn. Like, he has got 6 months to kind of, well, maybe less, depending on how results go in the next kind of 2 or 3 weeks. But, you know, Pochettino has got to take responsibility for this too. It can't just, the same mistakes can't keep happening, right? He can't just leave Caicedo in the middle of the field to be overrun time and time again.
Absolutely agree, yeah. I mean, Pochettino's never been like a tactical genius. You know, he's not that kind of coach. You know, obviously he's not bad tactically, but he's not, you know, he's not up with the elite coaches tactically. He's not up with Tuchel or Nagelsmann or other people like that, you know, or Pep or whatever. But that's costing us at the moment. It is. And, you know, I think there's an argument that modern players need a modern kind of coach who will, you know, who suits how they play. Pochettino isn't, I've said this before, that Pochettino isn't really suited to the profile of players that we have. Now, I'm, as everyone knows, I'm somebody who always backs the manager. I rarely call for a manager to get sacked. I don't want Pochettino to be sacked. I want him to stay. I've seen some signs of progress, and other people haven't. I have.
But at the same time, the managerial
market is busy in the summer. Is open in the summer. There's going to be lots of good managers available. So the pressure's on him. I mean, I can't, you know, I'm not going to call for him to get sacked, but, you know, I mean, this is Chelsea, you know. But, oh, sorry, Archie, what are you going to say?
No, I was saying we're speaking the GC, and it's one thing kind of, I think there's an element of, like, stubbornness that I think is causing him to have so many issues. I mean, the problem is, you know, at some point during a match like today, right, there was a perfect opportunity to kind of go, okay, this isn't working. They're absolutely destroying us out wide. Ben Chilwell is quite evidently not a fullback. He's a wingback. You know, why do we not change it up to a 3-4-3 or try and do something during a game to change the way that things are going? Now, on the training pitch, maybe he just doesn't have a plan B like that, right? Maybe that's just not in his thinking, and that's fine. I guess a lot of managers can't do that or don't do that. I'm not a manager. I don't really know how it works, right? But there are certain moments in a game where you're thinking, we are being destroyed here and you're doing nothing to counter it. And I just think that, like, oh, listen, I think the problem is after all these games, even after wins, there are still so many questions to be answered. And I think that's the frustration right now as a Chelsea fan, is it's never like we walk away from a game where everything tends to work or the system worked or the players were working. You know, I still, sadly, there are still positives to be taken. I still think we've got a core group of some very, very good players, right? I think Gusto and Carney and Nkunku, they look like they could be very, very good players for a long time. And I think that, you know, Caicedo and Enzo are obviously very, very good players, but for whatever reason, this system or the style or whatever it is, isn't working for them. It doesn't mean that they're not good players. It doesn't mean they won't be very good players. But at this moment in time, I can understand people's frustrations towards them because they're not playing how they should, right? If that's a lack of confidence, in-game management, that's whatever it may be. But, yeah, listen, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot more of this over the next 6 months. I think we're going to have good games, we're going to have bad games, we're going to have good results. And I think at the end, there's still going to be a lot of things that need to happen in the summer for us to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I agree with all of that. And I do think, I've said this before, people don't like it, but I do think our squad is more suited to a back three system, you know, than a back four system. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of managers out there who play back three systems. A lot of the top managers play back three systems now. So, but yeah, I'm with you. So good points, Archie. Thank you so much. Rambles, just some final thoughts from you.
Yes, I think Poch does deserve credit for the upturn in fortunes of the last few weeks/months, but I do think tactically he's not
at the level we probably need to be long term. And as you said previously, there is going to be a big manager turnaround in the summer. There's a lot of managers going. There's going to be a lot of managers on the market. And I still have this feeling they might look at Ruben Amorim from Sporting.
I've felt for a while he is the most likely guy if we change managers, purely because the owners have looked at him twice and they're big fans of his. He's worked with young players. He's won big trophies. He's won a league title. He could win one this season. His football's good to watch. He's also pragmatic. He plays three at the back as well. Got a bit of shithousery about him, a bit of personality, which Chelsea managers need. I think there's a good chance he would be our next manager. He would be our number one target if we did change managers. But yeah, I'm a fan of his anyway, regardless. I don't think he's been linked with Liverpool, and I don't think he'll go to Liverpool. I think there'll be someone else going to Liverpool. So I don't think he'll go to Barcelona either. So he could be available, you know. But yeah, good points, Rambles. And also, I just want to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow is deadline day. And we are doing a special show at 10 p.m. We're hoping to have some like major journalists on to talk about transfers, talk about, you know, what Chelsea have or haven't done. Have we had a good window? Should we have signed someone? If something happens tomorrow and we end up signing someone, we'll get some inside information on that. Maybe talk about the summer as well, what our plans are for the summer. We're going to get people on here to talk about what they're hearing. Got some good names lined up. I can't give you all the names yet, but we've got some people lined up who are really, really good. And we're going to talk transfers, and we're going to get your views on transfers and on this window and also on the summer window. So that'll be advertised tomorrow.
Can I just ask one question? Do you think, Score, do you reckon there will be any activity for Chelsea tomorrow?
Personally?
Do you think we bring somebody in if Breuer goes?
I don't think so, personally. But I haven't got any inside info on that. I just don't think, something could happen tomorrow. You never know with Chelsea. They could be working on something right now and we don't know about it. I have no idea. But I don't think we're going to get Callum Wilson because Isaac is now injured for Newcastle. So he's going to stay at Newcastle. We're not getting Benzema. I don't think we're going to get the Duran guy because he's injured for 10 weeks anyway. So, you know, unless they find like a magic loan solution out of nowhere, I don't think we're going to get anyone tomorrow. I can see Brozier going tomorrow. Something might happen with Trev, we'll see. But I don't think we're going to have any incomings tomorrow. But you never know. You never know.
See, I have a feeling something is possibly bubbling under the back line, and we're just waiting for Boyer to go. Then we'll push ahead and get someone in.
Yeah, maybe. That might be the case.
I just have this feeling someone might be waiting. But I could be wrong. It's just a hunch.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Well, we're going to talk about transfers tomorrow. You're all welcome to join us. Ramwood's going to be here with me. I'll be here. We'll have some other special guests as well. And trust me, they're going to be really good. I'm looking forward to having some really great people on tomorrow. So, it's going to be fun. 10 o'clock on Twitter Spaces. I think we'll go out tomorrow. Make sure you check out the Chelsea Echo. Check out everything that they're putting out. There's some great podcasts there, some great people. Try and follow people here as well. Follow Rambles, follow me, follow the Chelsea Echo. Keep an eye on everything that we're doing. Thanks everyone for turning up tonight. I know it's been a difficult evening for Chelsea fans, for all of us. We're all angry, and it's not good, and there needs to be improvement. Hopefully we can come back on Sunday and we can, you know, go and win that game at home, continue that good home record that we have, and, you know, get back into form again. So thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. Sorry we weren't able to get to everybody. Obviously, we only have like an hour and a bit. We've gone a bit over time anyway. We've tried to fit people in. Thanks everyone for showing up. Thanks everyone for contributing. Keep listening for tomorrow for our transfer special, deadline day special, and up the Chelsea.
Take care, guys. See you tomorrow.
Take care, everyone.
See ya.